Guys, we're back with episode 2, Wraith Talk Show. Listen to Low. And like I said before, two ears, one mouth, because you are listening to Low. And remember what we said last time. It's a mindset of greatness. It's a commitment of greatness. It's a sacrifice of greatness. And it's a passion of greatness. Let's have all four today. Have all four in your life. It will take you on a journey that you never thought you can do. With that being said, I want to recap last week, get right into it. I want to recap. We talked about coaching, how coaching is a big impact and a big influence in our life, and how a coach found me, seen me, helped me, and make sure that I want to be successful because he believed in me from the youth all the way to high school, all the way to college. And that what helped me become the coach I am today. At the same time, we also got into a little 7-on-7. We talked about it with Mr. Charles Carr, a pillar of the community, a youth coach, a youth mentor, a youth commentator. He came in and talked about how 7-on-7 is a huge impact with our youth young boys today. But at the same time, we talked about one thing. How do NFL players come back, give their time to help the youth, help the kids at 7-on-7? And how they make sure that the kids understand that anything is possible. We also talked about how youth kids and football players don't really respect a lot of NFL players. So we closed that up with a lot of great things. Charles really said some things that make sense. We talked about, is it problematic or is it entertaining? Should NFL players just do camps where there's really no troubles? Or should they continue doing 7-on-7 where anything is possible and anything can happen in the wrong way? But that was episode 1. But now we're going to move to episode 2. Because we've seen that money is a big deal. Money is taking over. Money is becoming the focus point for sports nowadays. Now, I don't know whether I want to call it Moneyball or call it football. We're going to decide today which one is it and which direction we're going. Because we talk about Moneyball, we're actually talking about athlete, student. Or we talk about football and we might be talking about student, athlete. Money can make a big difference in a family's life. Money can change things. But the question is it changing for the good or is it changing for the bad? I can remember back in the days, you know, I had to sit down with my grandmother, rest in peace, and she always told me things about money, the old school money, the money that you work hard for, the money that you earn. Money's not given to you. You earn the money. But she did tell me, once I get the money, make sure I squeak when I walk. Don't just give it up. Don't just let it go. Don't just splurge it any kind of way. Make sure you respect the money at all times. And it also goes to back when I was sitting down in the living room. My uncle came home from the military. Because back then you had a choice. Either you're going to go to the NFL, which is a dream. You're going to go to college, or you're going to go to the Army. You had a choice in our house back then. That was the old school tradition. College, military. College, military. You had to decide where you was going. And my uncle came home one day, and he was asking us some questions. But before he asked the question, he told us to look on the table, right? And he put down 100 pennies and 20 nickels. And he asked each one of his nieces and nephews, which one you want? So here me in the back just watching. Now, he had a lot of nieces and nephews. I mean, probably about 20 of us. So it get down to number 15. I'm watching. By the time they get 16, there's only the nickels left. Everyone grabbed the 100 pennies. So he came out of his pocket, put another 100 pennies down. The next person picked another 100 pennies. And the next person picked another 100 pennies. Then I came up. It was my time. Decide. Was I going to go with the 100 pennies or was I going to go with the 20 nickels? I looked up in the air, came back down with it, thought about it, looked at them nickels, shiny, big. I like to do things big. I like it big, of course. And I was the only person that grabbed the 20 nickels. My uncle asked me, why did you grab the 20 nickels? I said, I felt like the bigger they are, the more they were worth. I felt like if I grabbed a 20 nickel, it would easily be in control in my pocket. I felt like if I grabbed the 20 nickels, then I can't lose them because they can fit in my hand with no problem. But grabbing 100 pennies so much, it seemed like it was just too much, maybe too much to handle. So he said, great choice. He said, but to let everyone know, 100 pennies and 20 nickels is still the same amount, $1. So it's not about how many it is. It's not about how big it is, how shiny it is. It's about how you handle the money, your choices with the money. That's when I knew that money was going to be the key to being successful, as long as you use it wisely, as long as you live in your means, long as you control the money, but don't let the money control you. And that's the way I always did things in life. And that alone is what helped me be successful when it comes to finances. And what I did there was to make sure that I was successful by transitioning all that over to my own kids and the kids that I coach. Because I knew that going to college was the key. To getting a college degree was the key. It was the answer. So I had to make sure that my own kids knew the value of money and knew that they have to be smart with their money. But just, I want to flip the script a little bit, and I'm quite sure a lot of parents out there can relate. And I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing when I'm done with this story here, because when we come up and talk about money into high school and money into college and money even in NFL and money in life, you're going to relate even more. I do have a special guest going to come in and talk about that. But I want to finish up with this here. Before everything started getting more about money ball instead of football, well, I like how that sign. I want to say monster ball because it's going to get real crazy. But I'm going to keep it simple and talk about money ball first. Money ball. Is that the what we're going to? Is that the direction we're going to? Money ball? Or should we still focus on football first? I look at a lot of kids that I coach and I train. And I remember going through the process with a lot of kids, from recruiting process, from going to college, from playing ball in college, having that relationship with them, talking to them, keeping their head straight. And I always just tell my son and a lot of kids that when you go to college and you get a scholarship, I used to tell them, that's your money. I just tell them, that's your money. That's it. I used to take the cost of how much it was to go to University of Notre Dame for my son. I took the cost each year, multiplied it all together, and divided it by the time he was at school. And I told him, that's what you're getting paid to go to school and play football. Even when it came down to the financial aid money he got, I told him that money was a bonus. So don't just take that money and throw it away. So I just tell him, take this money, put some aside. So when all the 4 years was over, he had money in the bank. It was hard for him to understand that, hard for him to grasp that. Not just him, a lot of other kids that I coached and trained us in college, they didn't understand that mindset. They were thinking, I'm in college, I'm playing football, and that was it. They wasn't thinking about life after college football, especially since the NFL was a dream. College degree, once again, it's reality. So I never forget one day I'm talking to my son. I say, listen, it's your senior year. You're playing college football. This is it. You're doing your intern. You go to the University of Notre Dame. You know, you're going to have a great life after football, right? Everything will go well for you. But what are you going to do if you don't go to the NFL? What you going to do? What's your goal? What's your mindset? What's your thought process? Oh, we're going to do an internship. Well, everyone do an internship. Okay, well, what you going to do if you don't make it? Are you going to go into that field or you're going to go to a different field? He said, I'm going to go into my field. I said, well, what field you going to go into? He said, I'm being TV and film production. I said, okay, I like what you're thinking. I said, I like that you chose a profession that's definitely needed. But I want you to ask yourself, if a kid go into a different profession, is that the profession going to help him have a great financial career? Most football players, I'm using football because we're on the topic of football, but in all sports, the degree that they go into, a lot of time, don't mount out of what they're going to do when they get home. I can name probably 30 boys that came home after college with a college degree, and no direction was there. No direction. I'm asking them, what are you going to do? Okay, I'm going to go get a job. I said, where? I said, what is your degree? Psychology. Sociology. PE. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you came out with a degree from these top colleges that really, that some person without a degree can get that exact same job? He said, yes, that's the one we had. It was too hard for us to play football and get a degree in engineering, get a degree in be a lawyer, be a doctor. It was too hard. We couldn't do it. I couldn't juggle both. So now you're left out here with nothing. So you know what I did? I made sure that they were set up for success. And the first thing I did was to every last one of them become a licensed real estate agent. That's the first thing I did. Go get a degree, then come home, become a licensed real estate agent. Something that you can bounce off from. Then I told them, make sure that you don't go out and start doing things that do not help you, like having babies, going out and just buying big cars, knowing that you're not financially stable yet for that. A lot of them followed that direction. Some of them did not. So the ones that did not, I asked them, did you reach back out to your college? Who is your contact person? Who is the person that's going to help you have a career once you're done giving your all to that college? Who's that person? Who's that contact person? Who's the person in that network? Who's the person in that alumni base that's supposed to help you and guide you? No one really had the answer. No one knew. They didn't know who to go to. They didn't know, like, oh, wait a minute. Did you get a letter in the mail that says donate to the alumni? Did you get a letter? Yeah. So you got the letter saying donate to the school, donate to the alumni, donate to the, you know, all that, but you didn't get a letter saying that, hey, Dr. Scholes over here is looking for a someone to work for him. No, you didn't get a letter saying, you know, the corporation, Bush Corporation, is looking for someone. You didn't get that letter, but you got a letter say donate. So that's what I'm trying to say. When kids go to college, they have to make sure they set themselves up for success. And a lot of them are not, because no one is guiding them. And that's why when they come home, I make sure that I'm doing things to help them be successful. Even if it's as easy as starting their own training company, as easy as becoming a coach, as easy as becoming a real estate agent, setting them up some way, some shape, some form, so that they can be successful. But that all is now start to change. Boy, I'm telling you, it is going to be totally different now in the future before all the athletes, well, I ain't say all the athletes, some of the athletes going to have a change in life. Some of the athletes going to be able to come out already financially stable, already doing well. Some are going to come out able to support their family, help their family. I was looking the other day on the internet, and they were saying that, I think it was on Twitter, a young man already put money down to help his mom buy a house. Took it from an apartment to go to a house. Man, you got to be excited about that. Was she ever able to buy a house without him being able to help her? Who knows? This is why we have to make sure our young men is educated when it comes down to finances. They have the right guidance, the right direction. They make sure they understand that when you're making money, you have to use it wisely. Make sure you put in the right place. I never forget, right, when I was training a couple guys for the NFL draft. We call it pro day. We're getting them ready, right? So I had like five of them. And when we're doing the drills, I kept referring to the drill as money. I even went and bought some green tennis balls, right? And the tennis ball was actually called money ball. And every time they did a drill or touch a certain point, I say, go get the money. Get the money ball, right? So we're doing this drill. I had one of my kids. It was Dorian Jones. I'm going to call his name because he's a great kid. He's back home now. Great kid. Already got a position as a manager. Already starting a training company, right? I put him in an internship with us, paid internship. And I remember he saying, Coach, why you always ask us, what are you looking at? Where are you going? And I always tell them, I ask you so you know you keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the money. So every time they went to a certain point in the drill, I say, go get that money. I tell them, get the money, go get some more money, and then go put the money in the bank. Then I tell them, take the money out the bank, now go put in retirement fund. I used to tell them that in a drill, I kept drilling in their head, if you do well in the NFL combine, you get drafted in the NFL, in their head the whole time is, get the money, put in the bank, go put in retirement fund. Get the money, put in the bank, go get in retirement fund. And that is the key. It's educating them, preparing them when it come down to finances, when it come down to money. Be there all the time. Because once again, the NFL is a dream. It caused you reality. Now you got to maintain the money. So with that being said, I'm already going to get ready to get more in depth and get more in details. Because we always got to make sure you got the right person in your corner. The person that can make sure that you're successful financially with the money. And that's one of my good friends. That is one of my teammates. Right from a little town called Apopka. A-P-K. Because we do bleed the blue. My man. My quarterback. The one that threw me four passes in one game, and I had four touchdowns, and that one route, it was just one route, and it was called 50 Rip. He probably don't remember that, but then again, I question you do remember that, because that was his favorite play. When all fails, 50 Rip, and that's how we did it. And the man that threw that ball to me is Mr. Dan LaForest. What's going on, Dan?
I tell you what, this is pretty exciting, man. And, you know, to follow a guy like Charles Carr, what a great job he did last week, man. I tell you, I like this atmosphere. This is really cool.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you came on the show. I mean, because I'm just thinking, like, how do high school teammates, friends, quarterback to wide receiver, continue a relationship from 1988 all the way up here? Right before that, oh wow,
man, it went back to Apopka Junior High.
Oh my God! Yeah. See, sometimes you forget.
So yeah, you know the Alzheimer's is starting to set in on you, but
that's what it's,
yeah, man.
Hold on, you trying to say I'm old?
Hey, you know, you call it what you want.
I still can do one good drill.
I like the word seasoned.
I can run one route.
It's seasoned, and you did have one route.
I had one route, and I was a beast at it.
You had one job.
That's it. Catch that ball.
One job.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Playing for Marcellus Alexander for
yes.
Apopka Junior High Blue yes. Devils. That was kind of the start for everything. Obviously for you and I, but to continue into Apopka High School, and obviously we both had the opportunity to continue our education, playing the game that we love, and the thing is. You know, there's so many great things about what the game of football has offered so many people in their adult lives. And you know, these are some of the stories that I love that the show is actually going to bring out, because it's more than a game. It's a lifestyle. It's so important to me with the successes that I've had, not only professionally, but in my marriage and as a father and everything else. And I give a lot of credit to playing the game and going through the hard times and understanding what resilience really is. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, man, I'm excited to be here.
Well, man, I tell you, and I was talking last time about how when we do very well back then, that we was happy just getting a good meal.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't about give me some money. And it wasn't that everyone on the team or we were like starving. We had food. We ate. You know, I mean, you ate breakfast at the school. You ate lunch at the school. They had snacks afterward. But to be rewarded with a real special meal, right, at Quincy's. You remember
yeah.
Quincy's?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, I remember Quincy, right? Quincy back then was yeah. like the
and my dad used to take us too. We'd hit that buffet at, you know, 4 o'clock and then head to the field and yeah, the chicken wings and the mac and cheese and the yeast rolls. That was Quincy's.
Oh, the yeast
man.
Roll was the best.
Yeah,
I'm talking about I was one of them guys that say, hey, you want your yeast roll? You want your yeast roll? Yeah. I was one of them guys that just love bread. I mean, it's just so good kind of fill you up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, just to be able to fellowship. You know, to be able to pray together,
yeah.
to eat together, to bond together. It was about us, about team. It was us. I mean, your dad comes to take us places. You remember Coach Lombard?
Yeah.
He, rest in peace.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so much fun with him because he treated us like his brother.
Well, technically he was. I mean, he wasn't much older than us, so
yeah, it was. That's
you know, he was too. Still he was still reliving a lot of his youth through us. But yeah, Lum was a great guy, and obviously contributed a lot to not only as a player at Apopka, but came back and coached before he had the opportunity to go and coach in the college level, and so many great guys. But you know, playing for Chip Gerke, man, that was an experience all by itself.
It was,
and I know there's a lot of people in Central Florida. You know, he obviously coached at Edgewater and Dr. Phillips and at Evans, really ended up his career at Evans, but he was an Apopka guy. He was the original of the APK, you
exactly.
know, and
yeah, so many stories. We yeah. can sit here and talk for days and days about Gerke and the things he have done. I mean, time he just come by the house and pick us up and bring us to practice, and we miss practice. He's come back and pick us back up. You know, I remember time he picked me up. I ran to my grandmother's house trying to hide from him. Yeah. He drove to my grandmother's house to still pick me up. I just couldn't get away from him because he knew that we had something special.
Yeah,
he knew that we wanted to be the best, but we didn't know how to be the best. And he brought it out of us,
yeah.
every last one of us, when all said and done.
Yeah, and again, I give a lot of credit, too. We played for, you know, again, Marcellus Alexander, and he really installed that unity at the junior high level, and that carried over, obviously, to Apopka because, you know, we didn't have ninth grade back then. You know, we still had junior high. And,
yes.
And you were truly a newbie when you came in your sophomore year, and there was so much transition. You know, I played offensive line in Pop Warner in junior high. Then all of a sudden, I found out I was going to be a quarterback at the Apopka, at the high school level, but. Yeah, you know, there's so many great stories there and growing up in that area. And you're right, the relationships that, that you and I have and so many others is timeless. And, yeah. You know, again, there's just so much to be thankful for.
Yeah, right. Well, I tell you this right here, what's interesting is that everything that we experienced when we was young in college, we knew our passion, we knew our purpose, and we took advantage of it. Like right now, the things that you're doing now, right, working with the high schools, working with the all-star games, high school all-star game, working with career classic, varsity sport, working with collegiate athletes, mm-hmm. now embarking on different endeavors. So much that you have done that kept things going. Because if you wouldn't have gotten involved in some partnership that we had gotten involved together, a lot of kids would have an opportunity to still even get in college, or a chance to be seen that one last time, or a second chances. Tell us a little bit more about that and how you have embarked on different things working with high school kids and college kids. And
you know, it really, what a journey, because, you know, I really didn't get back into the system, if you will, until, you know, Janet and I got married and all of a sudden I've got children under the roof and them getting involved in flag football and supporting them and then coaching at the Pop Warner level. And then obviously, you know, I live in the Lake Howell area and coaching and helping out with the Lake Howell football program. But then, you know, it just kind of got overwhelming from a standpoint of coaching and running my business. So you know, it was a progression. You know, I started promoting Sumner County football on social media, and then the Orlando Touchdown Club asked me to come in and take over Orange and Seminole. They cover Orange and Seminole County, picking the players of the week. And then, you know, Alan Gooch reaches out to me and asked me to help him elevate the Cure All-Star game. And that's when I reached out to you. And it is, it's been a progression. And then Varsity Sports Network came around. And even though that didn't work out, what it gave me was a platform to develop even more relationships, right? Because that's what this is about, right?
Relationships.
It's about networking and relationships, credibility, and knowing that if you have a message, that you have enough people to help carry you. And no man can do anything by himself. And to have relationships across the state with Dwight Thomas and Larry Bluestein and John Santucci and Brian Smith and John Garcia Jr. and all these guys that are so influential in how high school recruiting is happening. And then to really be able to have serious discussions with young people, right, is how do you make a difference in their life? How, like you've done, you know, it's how do you have those discussions? And it's kind of translated into my next venture, and it's a natural progression.
Right. So I mean, so you heard me earlier before you came on the show. We talked about Moneyball versus football, right? And how the money is now starting to take over. Not just here's what's interesting. It's not just taking over in college. It's taking over in youth sports too.
Yeah.
I mean, you start seeing the money in youth sport. Where there's, you know, the betting coming out on the youth sports, or let me get the best kid in youth sport. You know, where I'm going to grab a kid that live in Miami and come play in Orlando. I'm going to grab a kid that live across this area, come an hour away, right? All that's starting to play a role with money. Then you get to high school now, and now they're thinking about why not do NIL in high school?
Yeah.
So, which I definitely want to hear that part, because – NIL it's gonna start to be big, name, image, likeness.
Right.
But in high school, if I give money to the player, he might make more money than a high school head coach, yeah, wanting to make $2,500 to $5,000 for the whole entire year in Orange County.
Yeah.
Then you go to college, and now we're talking about more money that they ever seen in their life.
Yeah.
So,
and their families in a lot of cases.
Correct. So yeah. NIL.
Yeah.
What is it?
Right.
And why?
Yeah. So name, image, and likeness. And, you know, obviously I had the pleasure of presenting at the Florida Athletic Coaches Association about a month ago, and then at Nike Coach of the Year. And then we just found out we'll be presenting in May at the FIAAA meeting, which is for the athletic directors in the state here in May. So, you know, a lot of great opportunities to educate people. But NIL, you know, I start off my presentation, and I'll kind of start off this discussion, is you start taking a look back, and the young people probably won't resonate this, but their parents will, is you start talking about guys like Michael Irving, Deion Sanders, Brian Bosworth, and then, you know, the 90s, Tim Tebow, Christian Laettner. These were the biggest names in college athletics, right? Mm-hmm. Personalities, bigger than life, bigger than anything we see today.
Right.
But yet, they were not compensated. We weren't allowed to be compensated for the millions of dollars that it generated for universities and for the NCAA.
Right.
Right. That's how NILs really kind of come out of the box. And it's come out hot, right? This thing's only 2.5 years old. And look what it's become. It's become a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame the NCAA.
Right.
Right? I personally believed that if they would have come up with a profit-sharing model early on, you know, I told the story at Nike. It's, I remember in 1990 being in the locker room at East Tennessee State, and we found out they were adding an 11th game to the schedule. And we're like, oh, man, we're going to get paid for this one.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to do this. We're going to be compensated for it. Well, that didn't happen, right? And, you know, you start thinking about, you're right, you go off, and there's so much pressure on the recruiting process, right? Families, the student athlete, where am I going to sign? You know, I social media has changed this whole game so much. You know, I joke around with guys like you and guys our ages. We didn't get offers. We got letters.
Yes.
You know, Low Wood, can you come up to the front desk? We have a stack of mail here for you.
This high.
And I
had 30, 40 letters. Yeah, it was crazy. Every week.
Yeah, it was insane the amount of mail that came in to the high school. And now they're able to put out offers. And, you know, I told this analogy. My dad gave me an analogy a while back. He goes, there's three kinds of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. Lies. And I changed that. And I said, there's three kinds of lies. And I was talking to some players' parents last year, and I said, you know, there's three kinds of lies? And they go, really? What are they? And I said, well, you got lies, uh-huh. you got damn lies, uh-huh. and you got recruiting. Okay? And we could talk about sports. It could be a profession. You could be the greatest sales guy in the world. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, a company is trying to get you, and everything changes when you walk in the door.
Gotta believe it.
Right? Now it's time to go to work, and they're not trying to lure you in. You're now there. And just like, you know, a resume, you don't want a resume with gaps of employment, and you don't want a resume where you turned over after a year or two. It's not attractive to the next employer. And you really don't want that in college football either, right? Because everybody's looking. They're looking to see what you're doing. And I think there's so many misconceptions with NIL and the transfer portal that people don't truly understand it because, again, a friend of mine gave me another analogy. A half-truth is a lie. I may hear something, but it's not the whole story. It's the headline. It's not the story.
Right.
But NIL is very confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to go back right quick to it. You said they gave you they said, hey, we want to go to 11 games. And you're like, oh, we're going to get paid for this. We get paid for this one, right? Well, see, the NCAA, they did pay you. They paid you.
Yeah,
and they did. Yeah, they paid you one of these right here.
Yeah.
This is a watch I'm wearing, right? This watch said the Champ Bowl. I got another that say the Sun Bowl. I got another that say the Avocare Bowl. Then I got one that say the national championship game.
Yeah.
So I got four watches at home.
Yeah, I didn't get any watches.
Right. So they felt like they gave you a watch, that was your pay. Well, I didn't earn the watch. My son earned the watches. He gave them to me. That goes to show how much they worth.
Yeah.
Huh? He gave you the ring. That goes to show how much they really worth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you getting bowl rings and you getting watches and you giving them away or you just don't even wear them anymore, then they let you know how much they really think about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth nothing.
Yeah.
But now that's changing.
Yeah, it's changed. Everything's changed now. It's
totally different now. Here's my question to you.
Yeah.
NIL.
Yeah.
What is it, though?
Okay. So NIL is, you know, everybody talks about NIL like it's a singular thing, and it's not. If you break down NIL, you have to understand that it's compartmentalized. First of all, it's branding. Name, image, and likeness. Right. Who are you? And what I tell young people is, let's take football out of your life. Who are you? And that's confusing for young people, right? Because all they know is they have played football since they were in youth, and they are a football player. And I think it's very important to have this discussion because without football, who are you? Mm-hmm. Because at some point in the future, and we don't know, you don't dictate when your career ends.
Correct.
You don't. It could end in high school. It could end in college. It could end in the professional ranks.
Right.
NIL is about branding. And, you know, the media days that I've had, you know, we didn't even talk about media days,
right.
You know, media days, and we're working on that now, but I love talking to these high school players and basically going, do you want NIL? And they're like, yeah. And then I put a microphone in their face and they choke on it. Right.
Right.
Because they're not used to putting themselves out there. You have to brand yourself. You have to be a personality. That's what people want to see. And social media is the driver for this now.
Mm.
Okay, high school sports aren't covered the way they used to be. If you turn on the local news, it's going to be the Magic. It's going to be, you know, the soccer team. It's going to be, you know, everything related that the majorities want to see. Very little is done for high school sports. So that's just the world we're in. Even with the papers, you know, you and I grew up with, you know, getting up in the morning on Saturday and going to 7-Eleven to get the Orlando Sentinel that we can see if we got our name in the paper, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, all that's done on,
we got,
all
right?
That's on social media.
Right.
Now. Everything's on social media. The second is the legal aspect of it because contract law is very important. Once you're 18 and you sign something, it doesn't matter that you didn't read it. And if you don't know what you're signing, do not sign it. The third is the financial element. And I know you talked about that a little bit. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. But you're talking about receiving money, and you're talking about the government will knock on the door. Okay? And then the fourth is philanthropy. What are you going to do to give back? Because that's part of NIL. What are you doing to give back to your community? How are you going to support things? Because, and guess what? They all tie together. If I'm going to go out and do philanthropy, I want to get it as part of my brand. I want people to know that I'm working with, I'm doing a football camp for the youth. I want people to know that I'm doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. People talk about self-promotion. What do you think NIL is? You know, you go back and you talk about the Deion Sanders, right? And I love telling this story. I remember Deion Sanders having the game-winning interception in the Sugar Bowl against Auburn. And they came up, Deion, you know, you had the game winner. And Deion sits back and he's got the TV cameras and he goes, fellas, it was like Christmas. You know it's coming. You know, and he knew at an early how to market himself. And then we have guys like Warren Sapp, who we played with. What made Warren so attractive to TV was the fact he had a big personality. Yes. And he knew how to play that.
Correct.
You look at Michael Irving, who was one of the originals, right? When he played in the 80s for the Hurricanes, he knew, and that's why his career has extended even to now with the NFL Network, is because he's a personality. People want to, they're attracted to personalities. So branding's important. But you look at the financial education, and the problem that I have is high schools do not teach financial education. Mm-hmm. We had home ec, and we had all these different things because there was so many situations where you turned 18, graduated from high school, you were on your own.
Correct.
How many kids now, if they turned 18 and you took their iPhone away and dropped them off 10 miles away, could make their way home? Right? And, you know, everything's in the phone. Do they know the difference between simple and compound interest? Do they know what an apartment costs? So now you compound money, and I look at NIL as an opportunity, not a payday. And when I kind of explain NIL, there's two ways you can receive NIL money.
And before you get into that, that's why I definitely want to get this full breakdown, because I know a lot of parents don't have a clue. Well, is it they don't have a clue because they're not even involved in a lot of the kids' recruiting process? Is they don't have a clue because the coaches don't want to talk to the parent? They directly want to talk to the kid through Twitter, back and forth. I hear it all the time. When Lo was coming through the process, no coach talked to him without going through me first. So the parents really don't know what's going on in that aspect there too.
The process has changed, right? When we played, everything went through the high school coach, okay? Everything went. The college coaches came in and sat down with the high school coach. Now everything circumvents the high school coach. And I think that's part of the problem with the recruiting process, because now you have 247, you have Rivals, you have On3 that are ranking players. I know you get this question. You talk to college coaches, and I talk to them. It's, well, you know, how many offers does he have?
Great. First,
and I'm like, coach.
Yeah.
Why does it matter? Do you like him?
Yeah. How many stars he have?
How many stars does he have?
I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody got to be the first one to offer him. You looked at the film.
Right.
You seen his ability. You seen his side. Why you got to go based on somebody else's decision to offer him? You don't know why they offer him.
Right.
Did they offer him because, you know, he had another 4-star? On his team, they want to try to get both of them. Was he looking to do a package deal?
Well, that happens. That's happened for years, right?
Right. But you really don't know. So you should make your own opinion, your own judgment. Now, I do want to go back to what you said too about the education side of it. Now that they don't change the recruiting process, kids need to be smart, especially when it comes to monies. And you mentioned about home ec. We knew how to write checks in home ec.
Yeah.
We knew how to balance bills in home ec. We knew how to cook through home ec. We knew how to do, they talk tight in home ec. You went home, you had to talk to your parents, ask them how the bills is.
Yeah.
You calculated what they made, and we was smart. And that's where I knew my first start was when it came to finance and how to budget money. So now they don't do that anymore in school. The recruiting process have changed where everything going directly through the kids through Twitter, DM, not even through the coach. How do they get educated in knowing the difference from the NIL? So you're going to break down both of them. Like, I'm be honest with you, I'm sitting here right now and saying like, oh, wow. I remember talking to you the other day and you were like, there's two type of NIL. I'm like, what do you mean? It's name, image, likeness. What do you mean two type of NIL? Yeah. NIL. I mean, you know, I'm like, well, I did not even know.
Yeah.
So since I'm a student of the game and I'm glad I know so I can educate others, break them down for us.
All right. So first you have the branding. That is what NIL really was created for, right? Is the ability to profit off of your name, image, and likeness, who you are, the popularity that you have earned or it has happened because of what you're doing on the field. Then you have the collective side, and that's where 99% of the money's coming from, right? Is collectives that are basically nonprofits set up that work with universities that raise money and able to allocate funds to particular student athletes in a particular sport based on their value to the roster. Mm. Okay.
Whoa. Value to the roster. Man, there's 100 people on the roster.
Yeah.
Power Five is 85 roster, and they might have 15 walk-ons.
Yeah.
You only have 100 total.
Right.
You said value to the roster, meaning everyone not going to get any money.
There's a lot of guys that don't get money.
So how'd that make them feel? And why?
Hey, listen, you know, that's just the nature of the beast anymore. And that was a lot of the discussion the last couple of years is, you know, how do you have that team unity when your center who just transferred in is getting $300,000 and you're getting $70,000? You know, and again, that's just the business. And this is what I'm stressing on is college isn't what it used to be now. The business of college football has to be taught now, and which includes a lot of different elements, including representation, because the rules are changing very quickly, and they've changed quite a bit in the last 2 weeks. Mm. So, but you know, again, when you start taking a look at where the money is, and then you start talking about that, right? We've talked about the fact that you've got high school recruits that are going in making anywhere from 50 to 100. To 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 that haven't even taken a snap yet. You've got quarterbacks in the transfer portal that are making $1 million plus. Mm. And then, you know, all you see is, and again, you know, the media loves to talk about somebody bought their mom a house or, you know, they bought a car or they got a car from a car dealership. There are logistics involved with all of these stories that people don't understand behind the scenes, okay? Do you remember The Price is Right?
Yes.
You know, people used to go to Hollywood and they'd be on that game show and they'd win all these prizes.
Right.
You know, most of them had to sell it.
Yeah, to pay the taxes.
They got
to
pay the taxes. So if a car dealership's going to give you a $120,000 G-Wagon for Mercedes, yeah. And then there's smart money spending, right? And, you know, what makes me be that credible voice, and we haven't talked about this, is I've been a wealth advisor for almost 20 years. You know, this is what I do.
Right.
Is help people understand the value of money. And imagine this. And this is another story I love telling is you're getting $200,000 a year to go play college football.
Correct.
Let's go back to that discussion of let's take football out of your life because you still have a 0.5% chance to go to the NFL. Mm. Who are you? What are you going to major in? You talked about it, right? Kids coming out of college not having any direction. Coach, I'm going to be a physical therapist. What do you think the starting salary is? $45,000, $50,000? Okay. Now, here's the biggest differential. What are your expenses because you have none in college? Mm. You're on full ride.
Right.
You're going into facilities now where you got a recliner in front of your locker.
Right.
You got video games in front of your locker.
Right.
I just saw a story today. Ole Miss is talking about they cannot continue the refurb of their stadium because of how NIL has affected the program.
Right.
Right. the recruiting process now. Tom Luganville had something on social the other day. I retweeted.
Seen that.
Okay.
I've seen that.
Where now, it used to be where you're trying to figure out, where do I go to college? What do I want to pursue my career in? I want to get my college degree into. How much money are you going to pay me?
So with that being said, so I go back to our friend Warren Sapp. I remember Warren Sapp was at my Hurricanes with everything. We talked, we boys, that's my guy. He got drafted, went to NFL, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I went to every home game for 4 years. And one day I came down to see him, and I don't know, I think he was, actually he was donating to our track program and help us travel to Eugene, Oregon. And I said, he came in, he said, man, I got to go. Hurry up, you know, here's the donation. I got to go. I said, thank you, Sapp. I'm out of here. I got to go. I said, where are you going? Why are you in a rush? He said, I got to hurry up and get to work. And I looked at him, I say, you got a job? You work? He said, boy, yes, I work. I work for Tampa Bay Bucks. I said, oh, yeah, I get it now. I get it. You know, that same thing is now for college.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a job. It's work.
Lo, to, you know, how many guys have we helped get to college? And in 6 months, they're home because it was hard. Right? I mean, I remember that experience of playing high school football. Now we're in college and everything's structured. The most, I want to say, it really used to upset me, right? Is I remember being on college and kids would be like, oh, you're so lucky you play football. I'm like, what's the luck? Do you know what my day looks like? Like, everything's structured. I have no me time.
Correct. Correct.
You know, and all these kids are like, oh, I need to have spending money. For what? What do you need spending money for? Everything's paid for. Oh, I'm going to need at least $5,000 a month. For what? Right. Your food's paid for. Your time's accounted for. When you get into that system, you're going to find out really quick that everything's controlled. Everything's controlled. You go to get up, you go to class, you have workouts, you go to class, you come back, you eat lunch, you're in the training room, taking care of your injuries, you're in football meetings, you're on the field, you go to dinner, you go to study hall, and it's 10 o'clock, you're in bed, and you're whoop.
Sometimes 11 o'clock before you get there. I know that for a fact.
Dude, I remember winter workouts where they'd knock on our doors, camp. They knock on our doors at 5 o'clock.
In the morning, let's go.
5 o'clock, let's go.
So once again, they still doing that now, but it's now more of a job than just going to play football and have fun. It's a job. They working now.
Every year you play the game, it becomes less fun.
That's fine. Become more.
The next level you go to, it. That's why the NFL stands for the No Fun League.
No Fun League.
It's a job. Huh. It is a job. And anybody that's ever played in the NFL will tell you.
It's not fun.
It is not fun. It is a job. You are competing for your life every day.
You're playing for that money.
But now we're seeing ridiculous numbers. Dude, Jalen Hurts is the highest paid player in the NFL right now, and that's going to change. $55 million a year, low.
Wow.
Hasn't won a Super Bowl. 5 years ago, everybody was talking about he could never play quarterback in the NFL. They're trying to get him to change the running back. He is the highest paid player in the NFL. $55 million, low, a year.
So he made his dream come true.
Oh, his dreams and his kids' dreams. But again, you got to be responsible with that money because you've got NFL legends that are flat broke today.
Correct.
And this is something that, you know, over the last year, is I've gone to a lot of our friends that play in the NFL, and I've asked them, why do you not have money? And the most two common answers, I didn't listen to anybody, and I didn't know who to trust.
That's what it is.
Right? That is huge because, I tell people all the time, if you win the lottery, what's the most destructive, and trust me, you sign an NFL deal, you're winning the lottery.
Right.
What's the most destructive emotion you can have? It's guilt. It'd be like, no, man, I won't be guilt. Yes, you will, because you have something that nobody else in your world has now.
Let me ask you, and it was just so true. Where's the resources? Where are they? Where's the resource to educate the high school athletes going into college, or the resources to educate the college players that may want to go to NFL now and may not. Because a lot of them don't even want to go to NFL because they're making money right now. They're trying to stay as long as they can. 8 years now playing in college, some one athlete. So how are they getting educated? And like I say, they don't know who to trust, but is there things in place for them to understand this process?
Right. The answer is yes and no. No different than the NFL, right? I've got friends of mine who are executives in the NFL that I've had conversations about their process. And it's basically the same. So the collectives actually have financial education. They have education. But I'll be honest with you, I've talked to a couple of collectives, and all they've told me is all we care about is they pay their taxes. We don't care how they spend the money. It's their money. They can do what they want with it. And I think there's wrong. But at the end of the day, they can't control it. The NFL, they have these classes, these seminars that you go into. But it's not personal. They're preaching about what you need to do with money and what right. you need to be. And they're sitting in there. And you know how you're sitting in seminars, right? First 30 minutes, you're in tune. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wow.
It's over.
So you've got to have the right resources. And you got to have personal resources, which kind of fast forwards to what's really happened here with the Influencer Council is, you know, I was approached by Ronnie Bittman, who's a sports entertainment attorney out of Lake Mary. And he asked me about being an agent. And I was kind of like, nobody's ever talked to me about that. And he's like, this is what I do. And I work with celebrities and professional athletes on contract law. And with your connections, with your passion for high school and college football, and your financial background, the two of us have a great network right now. So the Influencer Council, we are literally an agency, and we are going to do NIL representation and see where that goes. But, you know, we're doing the education, and we want to do the education and the implementation with the right individuals, right? And now with this NIL world, now that you have an open transfer portal, now that you have NIL that can be discussed during the recruiting process at high school and at the college level, who's advocating for that athlete? Who is on their team? And that's important to understand. You have to have a team, and you've had to build trust. And trust is not like, oh, I trust you. You need to earn trust. And to be able to earn trust is through education, and it's through giving them more than what they have right now. And I think that's very critical, you know, in this world, because you got guys now, you got every attorney in the state of Florida getting their agent license. But are they the right guys?
Right.
And even agents, they'll sit there and go, oh, we want you to talk to our financial guy. But you have your relationship with us, but we want you to talk to a financial
exactly.
guy.
Exactly.
It's a guy that, does he have a relationship with you? Does he help you understand how to spend money? Do you go buy a car? Do you pay cash? Do you finance it? My whole thing is, and I'll tell any of my clients right now, and I do, why would you pay cash for a depreciating asset?
Correct.
How long are you going to keep the car? 3 years. Why would you pay cash for a car that depreciates as soon as you drop it off the lot and you're going to turn it in 3 years?
Exactly. It's just funny. And I like what you said too, like, this, who you're going to trust, right? And I always talk about real estate, right? Like, what's the three keys in real estate? Location, location, location. What are the three keys to making sure that you're going to stay financially stable? Credibility, credibility, credibility. Yeah. On the person that you're going to put in your corner at all time. But I tell you, when NIL first came out, I was a total against it. Then I realized the NCAA really was kind of like, you know, pimping a little bit there. So, think about it. They control everything. They made all the money. So now I realize that this can be good for the athletes. It can be bad for them. Be good for their family. It also can be bad for them if they're not handling and managing it right. So here's what I said before we wrap up the show. If my son got an NIL and they gave him $100,000, and every year he get $100,000, he dominate MVP. Now he got $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. I was to the point where I felt like he couldn't get none of that money until he got a college degree, until he graduated. Then they give you all your money, take out your taxes, pay the government, the rest of the money is yours. Mm-hmm. If he decided to go to NFL in his junior year, he'd go to NFL, but he still had to come back to get his college degree before he get the money. That was my thought process on that.
I agree with you. And that would have been my strategy.
Right, and that's a strategy. But we lost that strategy.
Yeah. Genie's out of the bottle.
Genie out of the bottle.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I wish there's a way we can turn it back. And because I'm telling you, if kids can survive off what the stipend they're giving at the school, if they use it wisely, they get the financial aid money, use it wisely. I know it worked. Come proof in the pudding. I've seen it happen. But at the same time, I was there to guide them. I was the person they trusted yeah. with the money. I was the person that had the credibility. A lot of them don't have that. And yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
And so that's why NIL is so attractive to the youth athletes in high school. They are waiting for it. Yeah. I heard DeSantis said no NIL for high school in Florida. Is that true?
No, it's not true.
I did hear that.
No. No, that's not true. and I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to touch on that. NIL is approved at 32 states across the United States at the high school level.
But Florida, not Florida.
Florida has not done that. I know the FHSA is working on a plan right now. But, you know, at the end of the day, what Florida has, what those other 32 states do not have, is open transfers. Okay?
Correct.
Georgia enacted high school NIL in October. As of a month ago, Andy Villamarza with SB Live did a good job with this. 44 NIL deals out of 475,000 students. 44. Okay? But nobody's reporting what NIL is. Is it $500 at the local pizza place, or is it $5,000 from the local car dealership?
Right.
But the other thing people have to realize is, you know, parents will ask me, can you get us an NIL deal? My answer is, no, you haven't done anything. You know, go become ACC Freshman of the Year. Go become Sugar Bowl MVP. These are the things, but we have the foundation. We have the relationships to make it happen if it presents itself. But NIL, from a branding standpoint, is part of that 1%. Caleb Williams just reported $10 million over the last 2 years. That is what people are talking about, right? And if you look at the top five, but going back to high school, I think it is listen, there's going to be a lot of restrictions regarding that, but the most important thing is NIL equals ROI, return on investment. And if you're looking for brand deals, they're only going to bring in guys that have return on investment. And I think that's very important to realize. How it all the rest of it works out, we're going to have to wait and see, because yeah. How does that – listen, I talk to a number of programs around the state that have a hard time raising money for conditioning helmets and buying uniforms.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
How are they going to raise money outside, or a collective? Like if Brandon Merriweather wanted to do a collective for Apopka, how's he going to fund it when they can't even get local businesses to support the athletic department?
Correct.
I think there's a lot there that has to be really sorted out. What I'm telling basically coaches, and I'm talking athletic directors, and even parents, is everything's a wait and see, but you got to have a plan. And it goes back to, you know, going back to the kids. If you want to build your NIL value, how many followers do you have on social media?
Correct.
Look at your Twitter, you got 350. How many kids do you have in your school? 2,900. Why don't you have 2,900 followers? Oh, that means you have to talk to people.
Correct.
That is NIL, folks.
Well, I tell you this here. This show here had opened my eyes. I know it opened a whole lot of other people's eyes. And I'm telling you, I'm excited to have you on the show, Dan. I mean, my man, my quarterback. Four touchdowns, one game. That's how we did it, right?
That was your entire career, too.
Yeah, that was it. You know what? Miami Hurricane said, we like you. You got potential. Oklahoma said, we like you. You got potential. UCL said, we like you. You know what? And that was a great moment for me. And that created a great relationship. And now we're sitting here now trying to give back to the youth, to the community, and educate the youth, educate the athletes, educate the parents, and all about the change that's coming with recruiting, the change that's coming with NIL, the change that's coming with even getting in college, period. A lot of the changes are coming. And so I'm telling everyone right now, make sure that you watch the podcast. Make sure that you reach out to Dan LaFaria, a definite influencer, counsel. All the information that you need is right there. Our information will be right there. We're right now on the Ray Talk Show. Listen to Low. Two ears, two mouth. We talk about the mindset. So follow the mindset of greatness. Follow the mindset of being successful in life, because you can do anything you want if you have the right people in your corner. So till next week, I'm telling you right now, we got a big show head up next week. We're bringing the man, Warren Sapp, Hall of Fame, coming next week, talking about a lot of great things. So stay tuned, follow us, and listen to Low. Thank you, guys. Kim, you're on the Ray Talk Show. Thank you, Dan DeForest. All right, that's it. Good job, bro, baby. What do you think?